Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, Andy, this is something that I've been arguing with Big Andy about for a while now.
Wait, I'm Little Andy?
Yeah, you're Little Andy. Big Andy is homesick, nursing a little, maybe a fever, maybe an upset stomach. Not really sure.
It
haven't checked up on him. Huh?
Feels like he had a long weekend and he just wanted to, you know, wait a day before he came back.
I don't know. It's tough to get that guy out of work, so he must be feeling like crap. Mm. And he did the whole, like, you know, well, I'll come in and grind it out if you want me to.
I don't think I want to be Little Andy. Can I
you
be
don't
Awesome
have a
Andy?
No,
awesome
you gotta
Andy.
You got to be, you're Little
cool Andy.
Andy. Too bad. If you're
Visor
bigger.
Visor Andy.
No. Little Andy is appropriate for you. Just own it.
Not
too
that
bad.
You know of.
Okay, so how would you feel about 20 regular season games? 20?
Wait, 20?
Regular, okay, so hold on. How
you
would
just
you
skipped
feel?
From 17
no,
to 20?
Because that's where we're really headed. Okay, so I'm going to play a little
Don't
sound
like
bite real quick.
Can't do it. Won't
about,
do it.
Because Roger Goodell, at the Combine, there was talk about going from 17 regular season games to 18.
Sure.
Right? Because right now it used to be 4 preseason games, so it used to be 5. Then it was 4. Then they knocked it down to 3, and they made one of those preseason games a real game, right? You have 17 regular season games. Now the word is that they want 18. They want 18 regular season games, and
yeah,
they want to push the regular season into a 3-day weekend. Here is Roger Goodell, your commissioner of the NFL, talking to Pat McAfee.
Is there a thought of adding another one, maybe adding another bye week so we can get more exposure, more TV deals, or are we good at 17 right now?
Well, I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I don't think we need preseason.
Waste of time, right, anymore. And energy?
I don't buy it, and I don't think these guys like it either.
Well, they have to spend full price for the tickets for those games.
You don't.
No, they're actually discounted now.
Thank you.
So I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season any day. That's just picking quality, right? So if we got to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, which I thought you were going to, is that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a 3-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off. So that's
wow.
Now we're cooking.
All right, your thoughts.
Okay, so we knew 18 was coming. This was originally when they were selling this years ago. They were going to jump right to 18, if you remember. And then I feel like it was kind of negotiated into we'll try it at 17 and bridge our way to 18 eventually. In general, I don't like it. I just think we've seen enough injuries. We see enough wear and tear. I like football, but I also like good football. We've had playoff games over the years where guys get hurt. Remember that Raiders game where the kid out of Michigan State had to start a playoff game? And it's like, I don't want a rookie like making his debut in a playoff game. That's not good for me. I understand the money. I understand all the money. The one thing I would add to this, the preseason is a necessity. somehow, some way, you have to get ready to play football, correct? You did it. Like, you can't just roll out of bed and play football. The one thing I've never understood in their way of making money, because coaches seem to love joint practices, right?
Yeah.
So why have they not gone to some sort of a format where joint practices are televised and joint practices are becoming the preparation for the action? And I did enjoy, thank you, Commissioner, for the ultimate softball tosser, Pat McAfee, for actually pumping his
Oh, they play full price, too. Yeah,
like he got ahead of himself there. He doesn't know how the real world works. But did you see David Andrews?
Yeah, immediately we got it up there on Twitch right now. There's his quote.
He's an undrafted rookie center. Like, the preseason is how somebody like David Andrews gets a career, right? Because if he doesn't get preseason action, if he doesn't get a chance to show himself, he's probably just a cut. You know, we start at the bottom and we just cut out the people that were last here, the undrafted center.
No, he'll still get that chance.
We'll see.
Okay, so think about it this way. So, okay, I went back to last year, 2023. The first preseason game, which eventually is going to be a regular season game because 17 was just a goal to get to 18. 18, just I want to get to 19. They really want to get to 20.
Where does it end?
It ends at 20. Because it's, right? It's got to end. Eventually, it's got to end. Right?
Now, I think 20, the natural ending is, as you said, for a long time it was 16-4. So it was 20 contests being played, even though everybody knows the four preseason games, veterans didn't play in all four of them. And when they did play, they played 10 snaps, 12 snaps. So you didn't play four games. Total in the preseason, you might play one game, right?
Well, no, it just depends. It depends on, you know, what team you go to, what your coach is like. You know, I mean, if you have that Hall of Fame game, you're still playing four preseason games. It used to be if you had the Hall of Fame game, you're playing five.
Right.
No matter what, you're playing four. But here's the thing. So last year's first preseason game was August 10th.
Okay.
Now imagine that's your first regular season game.
Oh, it's hot.
Okay. One, it's hot as hell.
Oh, Miami? Two. At Miami, August 10th?
Two,
damn.
You're pushing the start of camp because you still need to practice. You would still technically need 3 weeks of inter-squad practicing, joint practices, air them, record them. NFL Network's got to be there. You still need to practice.
Right.
You have a 21-year-old quarterback. You have new linemen. You have free agents. That has to happen. So if your first regular season game is August 10th, then when are you showing up to camp?
July
5th?
Yeah.
July 5th.
Right.
July
have 4th. Your family and then come on. And it used to be that way, I believe. The Patriots at UMass used to report, now I'm talking like the 60s, Bill always tells stories where there was like 2+ months of training camp because everybody got in shape
in
training
camp. No,
for me
too. Your last kind of let your hair down, you're still kind of apprehensive, was July 4th. July 4th, because, you know, camp was, you know, I remember 1 year with the Seahawks, we played in the Hall of Fame game. So we had five preseason games. So we were there extra early. So a week and a half after July 4th, I was showing up in Cheney, Washington, just miserable the whole half of July and all of August, right? So now with that, so if we go the way that the commissioner wants to do it, right, you're going to have a 3-day Super Bowl weekend.
I like that.
Your Super Bowl will be February 16th. President's Day is the 17th.
I like that. That's the one aspect of all of this I like, but I don't think you had to add games to get to that point. You could get to that point if you just wanted to, right?
Well,
Changing the schedule, adding bye weeks, whatever.
When was the Super Bowl this weekend? Was it it was like the 8th or something like that, the 8th or the 9th. So really, you really just need to get one more week because you'll have the bye week before the Super Bowl week, right? So that week, let's just say they do it in 2025, which they wouldn't, Valentine's Day would be the 14th, which would be, you know, that weekend before the Super Bowl.
Right.
Friday before Sunday, Super Bowl
Sunday.
Honey,
you get Friday, I get Sunday.
And here, I've always believed that they want to own every single month. That's why they've hijacked Christmas. They've always hijacked Thanksgiving. And now they have hijacked and literally a hostile takeover of Christmas, which used to be college football and, more importantly, the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They basically told the NBA to beat it. They just said, beat it. You're not wanting here. A bigger, stronger person just kicked you out of your day.
Because they can.
So Gresh's thing is like, no, they have this partner, that partner. They don't care. They don't care. So they, to me, I said they go, will the product be worse? Will the product be worse come, I don't know, now January is a totally different month, right? If you're thinking about it, it's in August is, are these guys even ready? So now you're going to play international games. You're going to start adding those. So they, so the reason they need to create an extra week of downtime, like so you will have two bye weeks, is because the players are going to bitch about safety, recovery, flying, jet lag. You already got us doing Thursday nights. You already got us doing Monday nights. And we're going to throw some Friday nights in the opening week. You're going to be playing in Argentina on a Friday. Okay, we'll give you an extra week. Every time we have one of these games, we'll give you an extra week to break. You guys can treat it like you have two bye weeks. And if you have a Thursday night game, it's like three bye weeks.
So my, I think one end of this is, you know how Bill always said September extension of the preseason? Now it's just flat out going to still be the preseason. Early in the year, football is going to be played at a lower level. Teams are going to be, think of Alex Van Pelt. He's never coached a game as his scheme, his true offensive coordinator, right?
Well, he has control and he's implementing everything.
Right. So it's not just the players, but coaches are trying things. Coaches are experiencing things they haven't done before. So early season football, whenever it starts in your schedule, mid-August, like that first 6 weeks, I think as Tom Brady said, remember when Tom Brady said football kind of sucks, it's kind of crappy? It's going to continue to be crappy early in the year. Then it might be crappy late in the year due to injuries. The way you counter that, and this is my big picture theory, I think it's going to be flag football. I really do. I think we're going, you know how you avoid injuries? Avoid hitting and avoid contact. And every step of the way, they're telling you baby steps towards, we'll be playing flag football soon. We'll be playing flag football soon. Whether it's 40 years, 50 years, the end game is going to be a really long NFL season that is a lot safer with guaranteed contracts for you players because the only injuries are going to be torn ACLs out of cuts, basically, because we're going to go to flag football. So I think that's the end game of all of this. Now, you have the test weather balloons of the Olympics, the Pro Bowl. Do people like flag football? Will they watch Tyreek Hill run deep on Christian Gonzalez without pass rush, without physicality, without run game? And they are risking something there. We're going to find out when Tyreek Hill takes the field for the Olympics. That's their test weather balloon. Do people like that? Do they get jazzed up about that? But I firmly believe the bigger play beyond even the schedule expansion, the removal of preseason, is flag football.
I always knew that this was going to be one of those things that would happen. I just knew that they wanted to just literally be the bullies of everything. They just, and they have the weight, they have the power, and they have the popularity. And the draft was like a convincing factor for me. All these random 775,000 people showed up. 3 days worth of just nonsense. There is no content. There is no band. There is no food. There isn't like a, this.
So there's no
this
food
isn't
co-
this
in
isn't
there?
Coachella. So what happens is so they block off the entire city, right? And the restaurants are open. There's food trucks all over the place, but in the main area. So you leave that main area, and you go down Rush Street, right? And all the restaurants are open. And there's then you go into Entry B, which is blocked off. And when you go past this one, like call it a checkpoint, you can. It's like Bourbon Street, drinking in the street, carrying on, going to all these little parties. Everybody's selling tickets, but that's not the main area. That area seems like more fun. The area where everybody, where the majority of the fans are, was that one big, you know, that one common area where the majority of people were. That many people for a freaking draft. So next year it's Green Bay. So they sell a draft to all these, you know, smaller market cities, right? And say, listen, Green Bay, you can never have the Super Bowl. But we'll give you the draft. Kansas City, nobody wants to go there in February. We'll give you the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit's had a Super Bowl. That city is tailor-made for a Super Bowl. Everything's close by, tons of hotels.
Except the fact that it's in the north near Canada.
Yes, yes, there is that.
I know you're the expert on bringing sand to the beach, but I like it to be warm where my Super Bowls are.
But they, it doesn't matter anymore. They had it in Minnesota. They've had it in Detroit before. They have it in Indianapolis. As long as you got a dome, they don't care. Who's making a new stadium right now?
Buffalo.
Is it Buffalo? It'll be in Buffalo.
I don't know if it'll be in Buffalo. They have like two hotels.
Well, they got to build up the infrastructure. The reason why the Patriots didn't have it because they don't have enough hotels.
Well,
to hold everybody,
Patriots
they'd have to have half of them in Thursday,
Boston,
half of them in
Providence, and the whole thing.
Do you think there's a place? Do you think they could have the draft in Boston? Is
yes.
there a place where?
Give me an area. I may have answered too quickly.
Yeah, I don't. I believe me. I've been thinking it because if the the Patriots, New England should try to get the draft, but there isn't a common area where you can house that many people.
Yeah, I didn't know it was this big. It snuck up on me. I'm not going to lie to you. The first night of the draft.
You see it in Nashville? You see it in when it was in Kansas City?
I don't think I really understood how many people it was. I think I missed the number.
This was obnoxious. Yeah. This was like beyond comprehension, the amount of people that were there.
This, you need like an Air Force base, like Otis Air Force Base or something to hold 275,000 people just milling about.
Maybe like, and you can't say, oh, Boston wouldn't get behind it. Like, look at every parade.
Like, yeah, but where are you going to put more than a quarter of a million people in one area where there's like a stage? Although, isn't it a million for City Hall Plaza? Wasn't there like a million people got into there for the Patriots' original rallies?
You could probably hold it there, but here's the problem. The stage would take up that entire area.
Right.
So the stage itself, you see the front of it, but like when we were broadcasting, and we got to get to Scott McLaughlin to talk some Bruins real quick, there isn't a place that you can actually house it. There isn't. It's almost impossible. There's no way they could do it. You'd have better luck doing it in Foxborough. You just have to do it in Foxborough.
Yeah, but is there even a place there? Because you'd have to use the parking lots.
You'd have to do it in the stadium.
The stadium only seats 60,000. They got 275,000. You're coming up shy.
With all the power and influence that Kraft has, this would be one of the things that he could do.
What if you bring in aircraft carriers and put them in the harbor and
there's an idea.
Raft them up together and all the people are on aircraft carriers?
There you go.
Sounds awesome.
How many people would end up in the water?
A lot
of them. All right, so the Bruins are up 3-1 on Toronto. Scott McLaughlin, in-house resident hockey nerd. He's going to break it all down for us. And how do they close this series out and move on to the next round? We'll do that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
All right. So here's our hockey talk segment before we get to big deal, no big deal. Have you guys ever heard of had an old Yeller moment in your life? Yeller moment.
No, doesn't that mean you get shot?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, you don't get shot.
I've never been shot.
You don't get shot.
That Old Yeller got taken behind the barn and shot.
Okay,
so that's what it is.
You're saying you're the one doing the putting down? Is that what you're talking
about? I am not doing that. And that voice you hear is Scott McLaughlin, a resident hockey nerd here at Odyssey.
Are you putting down Gresh? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
I just got a message from Gresh.
Is he dead?
You better get ready to work tomorrow because he is not in good shape. And for a guy that big to be that sick, hey, feel like I'm dying, temp hovering the last 3 hours at 102. Somehow this is your fault. Oh, yeah. He's blaming it on Uber. I put him in an Uber.
Could have been the flight.
He had never been in an Uber before.
I've never done my own Uber.
What?
I've ridden with others in Uber, but I've never done my own Uber.
Do you have the Uber app?
No.
You've never?
Nope.
Really? Have you, Scott?
Yeah, plenty.
It's like, I don't know where I'd be without it.
I'm high maintenance. Like at Super Bowls, I'd always be with somebody and be like, hey, can you get an Uber? And then I'd ride with them.
Such a cheap ass.
Wasn't even the cheap. I just don't like to do stuff. I don't trust myself.
What do you mean you don't like to do stuff? What is it with you, Andy's? You guys are so, like, antisocial.
There's probably something to that.
All right, so let's get some
hockey
talking.
Wait, but what was your point about the Old Yeller thing? Did you finish
that? I'll tell you at 12:45.
Oh, I got to wait that
12:45.
Sounds like Gresh has what Austin Matthews has.
Oh. Which is what?
I don't know, some sort of illness that knocked him out of the third period of game four. Has him playing like crap. He didn't practice today.
The only time he looked good was that breakaway goal.
Was that game two or game one?
All of game two. He was dominant that whole game, but that's been about it.
That's the other thing. There hasn't really, you guys, I was listening to Sunday Skate on Sunday when I probably had an award-winning call-in question. When I was debating
Best call
Razor.
Of the year.
Yeah, I totally no beat question. Up on Razor. Razor is easy to bully. He's so easy to push around.
Jesus, you called in to bully somebody?
I did, because he said something stupid.
Wait, you corrected the hockey expert
yes,
on
I
hockey?
Did. Yes, I did.
This ought to be good.
You guys mentioned this on Sunday. The last time the Bruins were up against like an odd man rush was that play. Where it was like, the one of the players got behind the defender. I think it was, I'm not sure who it was at the time.
It was McAvoy,
right? So they get behind. It looked like a post route in football where the safety is like stuck in the mud and the receiver goes right by him and they try to recover and they can't do it. That's how pretty that pass was.
Yeah.
So what stood out to you the most then over since that loss, right? Because they lose 3-2 in game two. And then they win 4-2 and then 3-1, and I would say in convincing fashion. I mean, hell, they were up 3-0 in game four before the Toronto even got on the board.
Yeah, well, their huge advantage in goal is shining through. Jeremy Swayman's been awesome. Ilya Samsonov, not awesome. In fact, not good.
Can I interrupt real quick? Sorry.
Sure.
Like, I feel like he buried the lead there. Are we stay and sway?
Oh, will you let him get
Well, he just had the biggest advantage.
I mean, what are you talking about?
And the biggest question in the series has been the goaltending situation.
It has to be Swayman game five.
Okay, thank you.
God.
Proceed.
He wants credit for that question, basically interrupting you.
That's the biggest question that every Bruins observer has.
What's the biggest difference in the game? Their goalie sucks. Ours is good.
Right.
I mean, that's really basically it.
That's a big one. The other one, they're dominating special teams. Bruins power play humming along, 6-13 in the series. Maple Leafs power play getting totally shut down by the Bruins penalty kill.
Are they 0-4?
They are 1-14.
Oh, okay. They got one goal.
They just went 0-8 the last two games. So that's another one. And the Bruins have really locked down defensively 5-on-5. Early in the series, they were giving up a lot of chances. Swayman had to stand on his head. They blew him out in game one, but Swayman made a lot of grade A saves. Allmark faced some high-quality chances game two. Last two games, listen, Swayman's been great. He hasn't faced nearly as many high danger chances. They have done a really good job.
What is a high danger chance?
I was thinking, is this hockey analytics? I feel like this is
deep dive hockey nerd stuff.
So, high danger shot in close or like a one-timer off a pass through the slot.
Like an odd man rush.
An odd man rush, yes, would be a high danger chance. That's one of the many things they've cut down on. They're not giving up odd man rushes. They're not giving up chances right in front of the net. They're not giving up, you know, cross slot passes that lead to point blank one timers. They've cut down on all that. So that has made Swayman's job easier. And then when the Maple Leafs have broken through, he's just been.
So I'm wondering, I am curious though, because I wonder how Allmark kind of like views this, right?
So I just talked to him.
Oh, you did.
Oh, that's right. Because you were at camp.
Hot off the presses.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so hold on. So Scott, you were at morning skate. Right.
Practice.
Is it really practice? Was it real practice?
Today was a real practice.
Do hockey players have hat day?
Have what?
Hat day.
the hell's hat
What's
day?
What's hat day?
Like you just walk out in a hat and you don't really
do
anything.
I wear hats every day.
Yeah. You just a hat day signifies that you're not trying. Okay, but they
no,
don't.
No, they have some optionals.
You had some hat games, I think.
they have some optional practices or morning skates. Right, so I guess you, that would be the equivalent. So today was a full
practice. You
talked to
Omar.
Yes.
Okay, what'd you ask him and what did he say?
Just ask him what it's been like watching Swayman get consecutive starts. And he, Omar, his usual bubbly positive self, said, it's great. We're up 3-1 in the series. You know, he's supportive of Swayman, says he's playing great, says it's his job just to be ready if and when he gets back in. So saying all the right things, he comes across as like same guy, not upset about it. So I'm sure he wants to play. Any goalie would, any player would. But I do think the support of Swayman and the team, even if he's not playing, I do think it's genuine with him.
Well, the thing is that he doesn't really have a choice. He's like a victim of circumstance, because that's how I would say, like, how does he view it? So it's not that he's getting criticized, but Swayman's being propped up maybe a little bit more than maybe than he should, or maybe Allmark thinks that he's earned, because technically he had the tougher game. He had a tougher situation, and Swayman, the last two games, has had it easier.
Sure, but regardless, it's hard to ignore the fact that Swayman is now 6-0 against Toronto on the season, and Omar lost game two. He wasn't the reason why. He was good, but they did lose that game. And as long as Swayman keeps beating them, you have to keep playing Swayman and force the Maple Leafs to beat them before you even consider a change, which is why, like, you know, I hear some people say, like, oh, maybe you go to Omar in game five because then you'd have Swayman fresh 6 and 7 if it went that far. No, absolutely not. Like, you go for the kill shot.
Finish him.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, the
him.
Only time that he, and I mentioned this to you on Sunday, I do feel like I've seen this happen to quarterbacks and other sports, a rotating situation. The guy is a beneficiary of, you know, some, you know, good circumstances. And so he gets propped up as the better player. And the only way for Allmark to kind of break that cycle is to start game one of the second series and have a great game. Because then right now, Swayman is ahead of him, right? And so only way for Allmark to kind of, you know, earn the trust and love and loyalty of the other players is to start a game, man up, play awesome, and now they're equals again.
But that's not what this is about. Isn't this about the Bruins winning as many games as possible as
right.
directly? You know, like, it's not our job to fluff up Allmark if the opportunity presents itself for whatever reason. But I've looked at this all along, Scott, and I've wanted Swayman to be this. I wanted Swayman all-star break. I wanted, you know, trade. I was all for the idea that Swayman is a franchise goalie. And then the second half brought mud to the water, and it just never worked out that way. I actually think we've gotten right now to where I would have preferred we'd gotten a little earlier.
Yeah, and it was interesting that they rotated the last 25 games of the regular season. Like, no interruption, no one even got two in a row. And it was surprising to me because I thought at some point they'd give someone some run, and I think it might have been in the plans for that to be Swayman, but then, as you said, like, after All-Star break, Allmark's playing better, and
right.
So it's like, well, are we really going to turn it over to Swayman? Are we going to keep rotating and, like, seriously consider this for the playoffs? And the fact that they rotate all the way to the end, that is what led me to believe that they would rotate at least two games and go from there. Because, you know, last year they rotated to the end and then tried to ride Allmark. It didn't work. I asked Montgomery about that in March. I was like, can you do that again? And he said, like, we kind of learned, you know, that that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to rotate to the end and then expect one guy to handle the entire playoffs. So I was like, well, that to me seems like a tip-off that you're going to rotate into the playoffs. It's just a matter of how long. Was it going to be the first two and evaluate, or was it going to be four games and evaluate? You know, Allmark didn't really play himself out of a rotation in game two, but again, Swayman has just been so good in this particular matchup that at some point you just can't ignore that.
So that voice you're hearing is Scott McLaughlin, our resident hockey nerd, and I say that with love and respect because I feel like you'd – like, you know, nobody calls a football beat reporter a nerd, but they will do it in baseball and in hockey because it's a little deeper dive. So you were at practice.
I'll embrace that. That's
you
fine.
Should. You, yeah. you look at you. You look like a nerd.
Good, thanks.
What else? So you talk
Why
to
Omar. Why are we bullying? Why are we judging him based on looks? That's not okay.
I judge because I love.
You look like a big dumb jock.
Oh, thank you for that. So who else did you talk to when you were over there? And how much access do you have to these guys? Like, when practice is over, Are they all kind of milling around? Is it at the podium? And do you have, like, you know, like a relationship with one guy more than the other?
So Montgomery goes to the podium, so everyone's crowded into the media room there. And then locker room opens up, and for the playoffs, there actually have been more guys available than there are in the regular season, which is good because it's crowded. There's a ton of media over there for playoffs. So today, like, I was in on Ullmark. I talked to Mason Lorai. As far as, you know, good relationships with anyone, I would say, like, most of the team, that, you know, they're pretty good to deal with. So, but Mason
who
Lorai,
who never answers your questions? Who is, like, who avoids you the most?
Everyone does. It's
why? Just because? I mean, everyone does.
I think in, I don't know, let's say 3 years that I've been, like, mostly on the beat, I guess, I've maybe had, like, once or twice where a player's been like, nah, I don't want to talk today. Like, it's very rare.
Must be nice.
What about Marchand? Because
he's
a guy that's just playing just unbelievable. And I think in the beginning of this series, I think a lot of people thought there was something wrong with him, like he was hurt or something like that. But he's just turned his game up, like, significantly.
Yeah, he's completely taken over. Like, he's their leader as captain on and off the ice, but he has led with his play, too. Like, he's just been outstanding. Eight points in four games now. He single-handedly has outscored the Maple Leafs core four of Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, John Tavares. They have 6 points combined. He has eight. Like, it's crazy. And he's clearly gotten under their skin as well with, you know, he does a great job now at towing that line that at times earlier in his career he would cross. But, you know, the battles with Bertuzzi, getting, you know, Max Domi is slashing him, like, right off the opening faceoff of the series. And he's not responding. He's not doing anything stupid. And then you have Sheldon Keefe, Toronto's coach, complaining about him after games. It's like he's clearly gotten under their skin, and he's just dominating them on the scoreboard.
Is that similar to Tkachuk last year, where, like, it felt like everything he did, he was the puppeteer in the series? And it feels like this year Marchand is the guy that's controlled. Because it certainly looks from afar like the Leafs are just mentally frustrated toast.
Yeah, and that, you know, with Tkachuk last year, it's like that really happened those last three games as they were coming back. I remember after game four, everyone thought Matthew Tkachuk was a clown because he tried to fight Linus Ullmark.
Right.
And the Bruins lead the series 3-1. And it's like, oh, my God, like he's gone. They've gone, you know, he's gone insane. Like, he's trying to fight the goalie. Well, whatever, you know, it worked for them because they ended up coming back, which is now, you know, for the Bruins, that's a challenge, right? Like, you were in the same situation last year. Up 3-1, looked like you had a team on the ropes, you know, looked like they were going crazy, and you let them back in. So this year, how do you just slam that door shut? Game five, like, you don't want to go back to Toronto for game six, so get it done Tuesday night.
So what do you think Toronto's philosophy is going to be? They're desperate. They've tried, like, every tactic. Nylander came back. I don't know how much of an impact you think he had, but they're desperate, right? So what do you think, how do you think, you know, they approach this game tomorrow?
If you're the Bruins, you better expect them to play the best game you've ever seen them play. Like, there's a lot of questions about that Leafs team. There's a lot already being written about them blowing everything up and trading away one of their big pieces and firing Sheldon Keefe and all this. And it's like, maybe they just roll over. Like, maybe they really are that soft. But if you're the Bruins, you can't afford to think that or assume that. So I assume the Leafs are going to come out desperate. Like, any team facing elimination, by and large, like, they come out with that desperation. And it's like, it's almost you have nothing to lose. So, like, why not throw everything in the kitchen sink at the opponent? You saw over the weekend there were three teams that had a chance to sweep. One of them did. The Rangers closed out the Capitals. The other two, the Lightning were facing a sweep against Florida. And who am I forgetting here? Islanders were facing one against Carolina. They won those games. Like, they kept their seasons alive. Now, they're probably going down in five. Like, they're outmatched. But, yeah, you better expect the absolute best that the Leafs have to offer right now.
See, I think that this game is so important just to kind of, like, last year was such high expectations, and they just tripped over their own shoelaces. And I think if they get out of this series, I mean, I feel like anything is possible just from a mental standpoint.
Yeah, you know, you talk to people around hockey, and, like, that is always the first series is always the craziest. It feels like the closest to a coin flip. both teams are usually mostly healthy going in, whereas as the playoffs go on, there's more wear and tear. There's more teams that just get too banged up. But, yeah, you know, look, they're probably going to be the underdog in the second round. If, assuming Florida closes out Tampa, Bruins close out Toronto, the Bruins will be the underdog in that series. Florida's better than last year. Bruins clearly worse on paper. But, you know, if they win this round, then they've already gone further than last year. So their recipe can work. Like, if they get great goaltending, they play this lockdown defense, their special teams are clicking, that is a really good recipe for playoff success, regardless of whether you have as much talent on paper.
What was your big picture expectation coming in, and have you altered it at all, and how much does Swayman maybe sort of taking over the goaltending situation lead to that?
Well, preseason, I picked them to finish like right around where they did, and I thought if they won a round, that's a successful season. Going into the playoffs, I felt the same way. I thought they should get by Toronto. They'd be the underdog against Florida. So I'd have a hard time. If they win this series and lose a hard-fought series to Florida, I would have a hard time calling that any sort of failure. Like, this was always going to be, to some extent, a transition year when you lose, when Bergeron and Krejci retire and you have all the cap issues you had where, you know, you're losing guys like Taylor Hall. You can't re-sign Tyler Bertuzzi. And you're replacing them with essentially veteran minimum contracts like James Van Riemsdyk. There was always an element of transition this year. But now that you're here, you have as good a chance to win the cup as anyone. So it's like you can't, you know, there's not going to be any like, hey, all right, we won a round. Like, congratulations to us. Like, right. No, you win this round. The expectation is win the next one too. So my expectation was they win one round. But, you know, if you get past Toronto, like you said, Christian, like anything's possible from that.
Yeah, point. So give us a score. Games tomorrow, they close them out or they give them life? That would be the worst thing. We would have to see more, like, you know, cutaways to those stupid fans in Toronto where they stand in the middle of nowhere.
It's like the draft.
Oh, yeah, oh my God, it is.
But it's great. Leafs fans in Maple Leaf Square is incredible.
No, that part is great, but watching them cheer, I don't know why I hate the Toronto fans so much. They just irritate me. Like, who does that? Go watch it at home. Like the draft people. Like, get a life. Just watching it on TV. They stand for hours and hours. So do they win?
Yeah, I say they close it out. I'll go 4-2 with an empty netter.
Okay, 4-2. Who gets the empty netter?
Ooh.
Pastrnak.
Oh, okay. All right, so, well, appreciate that. That was great. Are you going to write a column or write anything about your experiences down there?
What are you, his boss? Jesus.
Probably, yeah.
Where to find it? Where can we find it?
WI.com.
You know, you're acting. I'm teeing you up to, like, to give you some props. Who do you like more, Bridget or Razor?
Oh, God. They're both really nice. Like, that's
not an answer.
Problem. Like, they,
it's not an answer. Just say Bridget.
Bridget. Yeah.
She makes cookies.
All right. So you want to hear? You want to hear what an old Yeller moment is? I'm going to tell you. It's pretty depressing and sad. That's our next topic on Big Deal, No Big Deal.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
You got anything to say for yourselves?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Nothing's a big deal.
big deal.
It's no big deal.
No big deal.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
You know what? Actually, I feel like this is no big deal.
Not a big deal. Is that how everyone feels?
Not a big deal, huh?
Big deal. Who cares?
Can't deal with it. Yeah, I can't deal with it.
This is a huge deal.
Ain't no big deal.
All right, before we get to the old Yeller moment, I want to share this story with you real quick, and you let me know if it's a big deal or no big deal, because I've been politicking for robot umps for a long period of time. I just feel like it's easy, it's clean, and there's not a more sensitive, I don't know, judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to refs than baseball umps. They're the worst. They're the most sensitive. They're the most, they come unhinged more than anybody, and I can't stand them. So Max Scherzer was talking about umpires, and he has a different idea about what you should do for the ones who aren't any good.
And so for me, going forward, of how I kind of conceptualize what, you know, the electronic strike zone should be is really we need to rank the umpires. Let the electronic strike zone rank the umpires. And then we need to have a conversation about the bottom, you know, let's call it 10% or, you know, whatever you want to declare the bottom is, and talk about relegating those umpires to the minor leagues and getting in the best umpires in the game. You know, that way the umpires are going against themselves. It is still a human element of how we rank the umpires, that it's amongst themselves, and that, you know, policing kind of the bottom is the way to go. When I'm out there pitching, you know, if you told me I had the 10th best umpire or the 75th best umpire, you know, you don't really notice too much between that, because, you know, they're really good at their jobs. The umpires are actually really good. It's really the bottom umpires that we all kind of have a problem with. And so if there was a mechanism in order to make the umpires on the bottom better, I think that would be a better way to address this.
All right, Andy. Max Scherzer proposes that umpires should start getting promoted and relegated. Big deal, no big deal.
Big deal. Love it. Love the idea, because I'm not ready to go all in on just technology. I have my own fights with my GPS, so I can only imagine there will be mistakes and things that I'll be screaming at a TV by robot umps and electronic umps. So keeping the best human beings in the gig, I like. But if you stink and everybody knows you stink, why not get rid of the bottom 10%?
I don't know. I think this is a big deal because it's a great idea, and I can't believe, like, this is...
I just assumed this kind of happened.
Well, has it
though? It should happen.
Is there a grading? I know they get... I know NFL refs, NBA refs. If you have a... If you are showing that you're not good at your job, you shouldn't just keep it. It's like some of these umps have tenure. Like, it doesn't matter how bad of a teacher they are. It doesn't matter how many of their students hate them. It doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere. So... I love the fact that you are going to have to prove it. Prove it. Like, don't get lazy. Like, don't get don't get complacent. Like, you still have to do a good job.
Love it. Love it. It makes so much sense. And, you know, I think this is an issue at all levels of reffing. There's not enough refs to go around, so some of them get complacent, and they feel like they have tenure, because what are you going to do? You won't have a game if I don't show up. You don't have enough refs. That's at the lower levels, youth and things I yell at about.
Yeah.
But at the highest level, the technology, I mean, we all watch the games and there's a box on the screen, right?
Like, I see it all the time.
Everybody knows.
And I know there's like a plus minus. So I know, like, you can't get everything.
And that's
right.
Why I don't want to go all in on everything is technologically
but
based.
I like the fact that, okay, so because you want to keep the human element in the game.
Because the good umps are really good. Okay. Like Scherzer said, the bulk of the umps, I feel, like when you watch an instant replay and you're like, damn, he nailed that.
Yeah.
Like he saw it, bang, bang.
Which
I get to slow it down.
To think that they can actually do that.
Right.
I'm scrolling through some ump scorecards right now, and a game from Saturday between the Reds and the Rangers, this ump, Brian Onora, called 77% of the strikes called accurately.
Now, is that considered good?
No, no. It's terrible.
Okay, that's, right? No. What is a good score?
It's in the 90s.
Yeah, 95. High.
Oh, really?
It's just like grading
literally every single student is right.
If you get 95% on your test, they say you did well. If you get a 77%, you're like, that's kind of mediocre.
So I wonder, so I do think there, I would think that there would be some sort of mechanism where once they grade lower than, call it a B plus, because I would think if you're at the pro level, the standard should be like 87 to 95.
Yeah, I would think. But they have a union. I don't know how their union works and the strength.
Angel Hernandez still has a job.
Well, he's the guy that no one like wants to talk. Like
it's
Max
like
Scherzer's not going to say his name. Right. We all have names where we're thinking which guys would be relegated, and those guys would be relegated to minor league baseball. Which, by the way, isn't that fair? Isn't a pitcher do the same thing? If the pitcher's on the mound and he's throwing a lot of balls, doesn't he go back to the minors to work on his game? Right? It's the same thing. Yeah. We're all being held to the same standard.
He gets DFA'd.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't DFA him. And if he proves that he's worthy and he fixes all his issues, maybe gets some contacts and quits coming to the ballpark with a freaking attitude, then fine. All right, so that was a big deal for both of us in a good way. How about this one? Here's your old Yeller moment. So vice president contender from South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem. Okay, I guess is writing a book or wrote a book, and The Guardian got some of the excerpts from the book. Noem, and it says it goes into detail about how she killed her dog, Cricket.
What?
Noem killed her dog, Cricket, because the dog was, quote, untrainable, dangerous to anyone she came in contact with, and less than worthless as a hunting dog. I hated that dog, Noem writes. Big deal, no big deal.
So around here, certainly a big deal. I'm guessing that's a little bit of a different world out there where she comes from, but still feels like a big deal politically. And also sounds like she was angry. I don't think you're supposed to do those things out of anger. Like if the dog is truly a threat to everyone it comes in contact with, okay. But just because it's a crappy hunting dog, you shoot it?
Well, how about this? She also said that she, in her book that The Guardian obtained, she says she also shot a goat in the same manner. She describes the goat as nasty and mean and having a disgusting, musky, rancid smell. The goat made a habit of chasing and knocking down her kids' nomads. Here's the thing. She's, you know, North Dakota, right? She's the governor of South Dakota.
Different world.
South Dakota. Different world, country life.
Yeah.
So most guys, like if a horse goes lame, even if it's on a racetrack, breaks its leg, it used to be, and the majority of the time, somebody comes out there, they shoot the horse right there on the spot. Women, children watching, they got to put it out of its misery, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I say no big deal because she probably lives on a farm. She trains dogs. If a goat is going to be a wild goat, she just goes out and shoots the goat. But most people, they can't comprehend what that's about. And that's why I call it an Old Yeller moment, right? Old Yeller was a great dog. He became bad when he became
he was rabid.
He was a rabid dog, so he was trying to kill everybody.
That's different.
So
was
you
this
got
dog rabid?
No, it was just a nasty dog. Didn't
was
like
the goat
dog.
Rabid? Just
no,
smelled
the,
bad?
Neither one of them was rabid. The issue with the dog was that she just didn't like the dog.
Well, if I don't like her, can I shoot her? I mean, that's the standard she has set.
She decided to put the dog down by shooting her in a gravel pit after an incident in which the dog attacked a local family's chickens and bit her. So the dog was
borderline
out of control.
There's questions.
Wasn't trainable. Wasn't going to let anybody hold him down or her down.
What'd the goat do?
The goat smelled.
Don't goats smell?
And the goat was chasing her kids. Hey, that goat should know
better.
Keep
the kids away from the goat.
That goat should know better.
No.
And they shot the kid. And they shot the kid.
Keep the kids away from the goat.
Keep the kid. Throw the dog. Yeah, whatever.
I've never been on a farm like this in terms of, like, living in that real outdoorsy, black and white.
That's normal, though. It's not a big deal. They do it all the time.
Okay.
But when somebody hears dog.
I think the goat bothers me more. Because it sounds like the goat smelled.
But at least you can eat goat. Goat's good eating.
You can eat dog, too, in some places of the world. No,
yes, I guess they pretty much eat everything. But goat, you put that in a stew.
You've had goat stew? There's no chance California Christian has had goat stew.
Listen,
did you wear your white pants when you ate goat stew? No freaking way.
My parents are from Louisiana. My dad grew up in the backwoods of Abita Springs. You know where that is? Try to find that on a map.
Wait, they eat goats in Louisiana?
Country. They eat everything out there.
I think it'd be more like gator.
Gators, squirrels, goats, rabbits, you name it. I came home one day and my mom was cooking. I was like, ooh, this looks really good. What is it? Rabbit stew.
I had rabbit.
I don't know if I could do rabbit.
I tried it. It wasn't a lot of meat. It was very little.
No, it's just too bony. It's lots of veins and cartilage and tendons. Like, just
I mainly stick to thin-cut chicken breasts. I'm very simple these days.
Just would you just boil it? Would you do the whole, like, the hard-o diet?
Slice them up and fry them in a pan. Make my own, like, simple chicken nuggets. Yep, salt and pepper, baby.
All right, well, that's a big deal, no big deal. So, Gerard Mayo was a guest on the Greg Hill Show, and we teased a couple of the quotes, but we're going to play two more of them that I think are relevant. And we'll get to your calls if you want to join in, 617-779-7937. We'll do that right next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.